Well, if you're a guest with us today, welcome to our 9:30 gathering here at our Miralagos campus. God has been so good to our church. I'm not saying that he's not good to other churches. He's just been really good to us and faithful. We have tried to be faithful to him. And so over the last few years, we have grown to the point where if you ever struggle, we've created, if you ever struggle to find a seat in the 9:30 or the 11, we've created an overflow room just behind the coffee bar where last week we had about 10 people in each service sitting in. And so if you're ever here, maybe you're a little bit late or maybe you're just don't want to try to squeeze in, I just want you to know that that option is always available because God just continues to bring more and more people to the church on Rush Creek, which we're thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
So Jossie Chacko, maybe you've never heard of his name, or maybe you have, but he is from India. He grew up, he was born and raised in India, and Jossie was raised by a Christian family, and his grandfather was an extremely wealthy businessman who trained him and mentored him to be successful in the world of business. And so Jossie was raised in India, and he grew up, and by the age of 17, he left home with everything that he owned in a suitcase, and he moved to Australia with one goal. And his one goal is, I'm going to move to Australia, and I'm going to be a millionaire by the time that I'm 30, and I'm going to retire. So his goal in life was to move to Australia, to become the successful businessman, to earn $1 million, and then retire by the time that he was 30 years old. He was 17 years old when he packed up his suitcase, went to Australia, and for the next 12 years, he literally worked 6 days a week, and he says, as I heard him speak, he says, I only slept about 3 to 5 hours a night, and the only way that I could climb the ladder of success was just to work harder than everybody else. And over time, it did work. And over time, though he would go pretty sleep deprived over the course of a week and months and years, he would work 12 or 15 hours a day, go home, work more from his laptop, sleep a few hours, go and do it all over again the next day. And he said Sunday was his day of sleep. He would just sleep all day Sunday, start it all over on Monday. He grew up to be a very, very wealthy young man. And so when he somehow, through all of this time, was able to find and meet a girl that he fell in love with, was going to get married, they did get married there in Australia. And for a honeymoon, she had always desired to see the Taj Mahal. And so she convinced him, let's go back to India and let's go back there for our honeymoon. True story, they get on, they get to India, they're on a train, and as he tells the story, he and his wife were sitting business class on their honeymoon, business class on this train, when a 10-year-old boy begins to sweep up and clean up around them and began to ask them for any tips. And so Jossie began to engage this 10-year-old boy in conversation, in which he found that this 10-year-old boy had been subject to sex trafficking and had been subject to poverty and homelessness, and he lived literally at the train station. And so Jossie was just intrigued. Now, his wife did not understand what he and this young boy were talking about because she didn't understand the language. And so they began to engage in this conversation. And before long, Jossie's heart began to break for this 10-year-old boy to the point of inviting this young man to go with them on their honeymoon for the next week in India. And he said, it was so funny to hear him say, he said, for the next hour or so of the train ride, I had to convince my wife why this was a good idea. But can you imagine on their honeymoon in India, they took this young 10-year-old boy in and they clothed him and fed him 3 meals a day, every day for the next week. And Jossie Chacko said, that week changed my life. I got on the plane, I came back to Australia, and I went to my boss, my partners, and I said, hey, listen, I know this is going to sound crazy and ludicrous because it's everything I've worked for, but I'm out. They said, what? I mean, man, we're about to go on the Australia stock exchange. Our business is about to double or triple. You can't. And he said, I'm out. Because the vision and the mission that I used to pursue was just to become a millionaire by the age of 30. And I pretty much accomplished that. and I'm no longer fulfilled. And this week, not only did I get married, but my life was wrecked by a 10-year-old boy, and my whole vision for life was challenged. And Jossie Chaco came back, and he changed his vision, and now his vision is to provide 100,000 communities in India with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 100,000 communities in India. He has groups that are going into these communities in India and teaching women and children trades so that they can get jobs and make a living for their family. He's teaching farming so that these men can make a living for their family. They're getting out of the sex slavery and trafficking, and now they're beginning to provide for their family. And not only are they taking care of them physically, but spiritually, they are encountering the love of Jesus Christ. He went from being 30 years old pursuing $1 million to being a man that's wrecked by the gospel, pursuing a vision and a mission that will far outlast his life. And as our leadership team sat in Chicago and we watched this live testimony from this man, he left us with this question: does the size of your life's vision reflect the size of your God? Does the size of the vision that you are pursuing in life, does it reflect the God that you worship and that you trust? Because let me just remind you, the God of the Bible spoke the universe into being. He is right now keeping everything working at one point, keeping everything together. He spoke all that we see and know. He created you. He loves you. And he has a vision, a mission that he wants you to live your life for. And spoiler alert, it's not to live for $1 million. Man, I pray that every one of you are financially well off, but not so that you can just acquire a ton of money and fill up a bank account and be really, really happy. Because I think you can look around and see enough wealthy people and discover for yourself that that's not what brings happiness. But I pray God would bless your absolute socks off so that you could be a blessing to those around you. Because what we're discovering as a church is that there is so much more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Don't get me wrong, man. We all like Christmas, right? Bring it. But man, when you have kids and you start to give those gifts and watch them get excited about those gifts, it begins to remind you this joy that comes from generosity. And as we were sitting there as a leadership team, pretty wrecked by this question, what if the vision that we've had for Rush Creek does not adequately reflect the God that we're calling Rush Creek to worship? What if it's not a God-sized vision and a God-sized dream? And what if it's not a God-sized mission that we're asking Rush Creek to join us in? And that is the beginning stages of what you see in front of you today called Unleashed. What is Unleashed? Unleashed is a 2-year generosity initiative. I'm not apologizing for the fact that it is a generosity initiative. Guess what? For us to be able to launch campuses, whether it's in Burleson or Midlothian or Cedar Hill, for us to be able to merge with churches that right now are at our doorstep saying, hey, Rush Creek, are you coming or not? Because if you don't, we're shutting the doors. For us to be able to add partnerships around the world and fully support our partnerships in Portland, for us to be able to provide a soup kitchen in Mexico, and for us to be able to allow Pastor Carlos and our El Salvador campus to continue to expand, guess what? I hope no one in this room is naive enough to think that that doesn't cost something, right? It does. And so Unleashed is a generosity initiative, a 2-year generosity initiative. And our primary goal for Unleashed is this. You're not going to hear me from the stage talk a lot about tithing, because my primary goal is not to get you to tithe. My primary goal as your pastor is to get you to begin to grapple with the Lord over these 3 issues. God, will you help me take my surrender to the next level, my faith to the next level, my generosity to the next level? I don't know what dollar amount that is. And honestly, I personally don't even want to know. I just want to know that you're grappling with the Lord over surrender and faith and generosity. Because here's what I know about our big God, is that if the people of the Lord will fall on their knees before Him and begin to say, Lord, take me to a place of surrender that I've never been to, and take me to a place of faith that I have never experienced, the most natural thing that follows that is that God will take you to a place of generosity like you've never been before. And if that happens and that primary goal is accomplished, where 100% of the body of Christ that calls Rush Creek their home begins to grapple with those questions, then I know that God's going to do something special. Our secondary goal is a number. It's $22 million. Now, how did we come up with that number? Well, it wasn't because Pastor Russ and I and our leadership team just like, let's see here. I got a good idea. What about the church on Rush Creek, all five of our campuses? We live on a yearly annual budget, and that annual budget is about $7 million a year. This is a two-year generosity initiative. So that $7 million over 2 years is a $14 million commitment that you and I are already making currently. And so our desire is that we would increase that to the sum of about $8 million so that we could continue to expand our footprint and our reach into communities and cultures and places that we currently do not have an impact in, where we can take light into darkness. That's our goal. Unleashed is a two-year generosity initiative. Primary goal, 100% engagement. Secondary goal, $22 million over the course of the next 2 years. This is a discipleship process. It's a discipleship process because when you and I begin to engage the Lord over surrender and faith and generosity, our hearts will be drawn to the things that break His heart. Just like Jossi in India on that train in business class, sitting comfortably with his new bride, what captured his heart? What captured his heart is when he began to see the brokenness and the poverty of the world around us. And when you and I began to look around and see the darkness around us spiritually, it breaks our heart to the point that we want to press light into darkness. And so when that begins to take place, we will see a natural expansion of the gospel. I think that's seen in the book of Acts, which is where we're going to be today. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. And I want everybody to also have an Unleashed book, for all of our outlines are in this book. And so these books are in baskets on the far right of your row. It's underneath the chair on the far right hand. I'm holding my left hand out, but it's your right. So the last person in the chair there, you've got booklets. If someone on that row needs a booklet, would you just raise your hand if you need an Unleashed booklet? We'll get you one. It's in those baskets. If you guys could help us do that, would be great. And you can take that book, open it to page 34, and you can take your Bible and open to Acts chapter 2. Page 34 and Acts chapter 2. We're praying that God would do something absolutely incredible. We're asking every one of you to be here every week and not miss a single week of this, to get involved in a life group so that you can be a part of community life. So, because there are things that will be covered in your life group that will not be covered in this room. We just don't have enough time. And so for those of you who life group, in someone's home in this community, we have offered just for this series an on-site life group that meets at 11 o'clock right behind me here in the portable. Pastor Chris Snodgrass will be leading that. It's perfect for those of you who attend the 9:30 service. You could literally just attend worship here, go right back there to the 11 o'clock, or at 11 o'clock, go back to the portable. Pastor Chris will walk you through what all of our life groups are being walked through in their homes. And so I encourage you to experience group life. Now, when you and I are committed to a vision and a mission that reflects the God that we worship, Yahweh, the one true God, the God of the Bible, then what we begin to see is this explosion, or we begin to see the gospel truly unleashed, if you will, in people's lives and in communities. We see this in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42. And you can read along with me. The Bible says that they devoted themselves, this is the apostles, Now, their church had grown numerically in a crazy way. As a matter of fact, in verse 41, if you want to look at Acts 2:41, the Bible says that the Lord had added 3,000 people to the number who were coming and who were believers. And so all of a sudden, their church grew by 3,000 people. Now, we've not grown by 3,000 people. I don't know where we would put them all. We'd have like 8 services, okay? Come Thursday night to our service. And I don't know. But we have grown just year over year, 23%, which is the reason why we've created an overflow room to make it accessible for those who struggle to find a seat on a Sunday morning, especially in our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock service. Because when the gospel is unleashed, it's attractive to people, it's engaging to people, and people want to know because we want to live for something that we know will outlive us. Man, don't get me wrong, I want to leave my kids something. I do. But if all I do is leave them a few dollars and I don't leave them this legacy of generosity and sacrifice, I have robbed them of the greatest joy in life. If all I've taught our children is to acquire a lot and to sock it up in a savings account and to invest it so that you can get more off the interest, and those are all great things, but if that's all they learn from me and Stephanie, we have failed them as parents, as believers in Christ. But if we teach them, you be good at what you do, excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God, you work hard, you do everything you can for the glory of God and with excellence. And as you do that, you look for opportunities to sacrifice and to give and to be generous, and God will absolutely knock your socks off with joy. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see some of the results of that. It says that they devoted themselves. This is the apostles and the 3,000 people that are now believers and following the message of the cross. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
That's 100%, by the way. Just want to throw in that tag for 100% engagement, right? That was everyone. Everyone means everyone, 100%. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all, again, 100%, all the believers were together, and they held all things in common, and they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Wow. And every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. Do you see a lot of joyful and sincere people in our world today? Do you rub shoulders with people that are just overflowing with joy, sincerity? I would say there's a lack of that in our country today, in our community today, unfortunately. And I believe it's reflected here in this passage, because what we're pursuing is not what brings us joy and what allows us to live sincere lives. But they were devoted to meeting together. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. What does 100% engagement look like from this text? I'll tell you. Number one, 100% engagement looks like each one of us committed to community. I love how in this text it reminds us that all the believers were together and they held all things in common. It's this idea of all together, together. They were all together in a physical location, but they were also all together in spirit and in mind and in vision and mission. Man, the synergy that must have been experienced in the early church as they were locking arms and as they were pursuing one vision, one mission under God. They were doing something incredible, and they were seeing people added daily. But if you just add 3,000 people to your church, all of those 3,000 people, I love the fact that Luke gives us in Acts, he tells us that they were meeting together and they were breaking bread from house to house. It's a great picture of what our life groups look like, because all of your needs cannot be met in this room. And I don't even pretend that I'm that good to try to meet all your needs in this room. I'm not. We're not. This is an important time. But it's inside of community that you begin to walk and do life with people. Stephanie and I are in a season right now where we're visiting our life groups because as our church grows, it's difficult. We don't always see people and see people in community. And so we're going from life group to life group. And I got in the car last Wednesday night. I was driving away and I told her, "You have no idea how much joy it brings me as a pastor to know that all these people that I see on Sunday mornings that I'm high-fiving, but I vaguely know anything about their lives. That I get to walk into a living room and watch them do life with people. There are people loving them and living with them, and they're walking together in God's word, doing life together. Man, that's just a great relief for me. Because if I feel like I have all of you on my shoulders, or our leadership team feels like that, it's impossible to carry the weight of that. But to know that you are loved and cared for and led by literally campus pastors in all of these life groups, pastoring you, shepherding you, loving you, caring for you, man, that brings me great hope and comfort. And that is the early church. It's exactly what they did. 100% engagement. It means that we are committed to community. I don't need to talk long about this. You can go back and watch the 3-week series that we did called Better Together. That you and I are better together. Watch that series if you need to be convinced that we are better together. But I want you to see that they were 100% committed to community. They were all together, together. But I also want you to see that each of us, for 100% engagement, we each have to be devoted to spiritual growth. When you begin to pull back and look into this text and see all the different aspects of this text, it says that every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. Well, this is just one of the six priorities that we would call the six priorities of the church. But we see all six priorities between verse 42 and 47. Let me just give them to you so you understand how they were committed to spiritual and developing spiritual growth. It's clear that they were committed to worship, for it said that they met together in the temple. That's what they did in the temple. It was a gathering like this, and they worshiped. It was clear that they had discipleship, because it says that they were teaching and praying together. This idea of teaching and praying, it's the idea that you are growing to become more like Jesus every single day. You see fellowship in the breaking of bread and enjoying a meal together. You see service, because the Bible says that they distributed to the people as they had need. That requires volunteers and servant leaders. Somebody's got to take bread to this family and this family and this family. And oh, by the way, this family is under-resourced right now. And so we're going to sacrifice so that we can go and take bread and supplies to that family. You see worship, you see discipleship, fellowship, you see service, but you also see generosity. It's a priority of the church. Generosity. The Bible says that they sold their possessions and property in order to give. They sold something that they valued. Now, how do you know they valued it? Because they had it in the first place. They bought it in the first place. They had acquired it some way, whether it's through their work or labor or whatever, it was theirs. And they valued that, yet in this moment, they realized that the greater value, the greater need was for them to sell in order to bless. And you see the word contagion. It's not a word that's in the Bible. It's a word that we use here at Rush Creek. Kind of the church word that many would use would be evangelism, but we say contagion, that we want to live in such a way that our lives are contagious for Christ. And we see that in verse 47, where the Bible says that every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Every day. Every day. These are the six priorities of the church, and you can tell that they were devoted to spiritual growth because they were devoted to these priorities. But let me ask us a question today, Mira Lagos. How devoted are we to worship and to fellowship? How devoted are we to discipleship? How devoted are we to generosity How devoted are we to being contagious with our lives? Every one of these make up a part of spiritual growth. And our church is a body, and our body is made up of lots of different systems, right? The muscular system, the respiratory system, on and on and on. And if any one of those systems does not function properly, then the whole body feels the weight of that. And when the body of Christ, when you have someone or a group of people who are not engaged in this 100% engagement, they're not engaged in growing in worship and fellowship and service and sacrifice and generosity. When they're not engaged in this way, the body feels it. And you and I miss this incredible blessing that God wants us to experience. When we look at the early church and when we think about 100% engagement, we see that they were committed to community. They were devoted to spiritual growth. But then I also want you to see that 100% engagement means that each one of us lives sacrificially. You cannot read the book of Acts. You cannot look at the early church when Jesus ascended into heaven and left with his disciples, his apostles. You are now to go and take the gospel into every nation. You cannot read the New Testament without seeing this incredible act of generosity and sacrificial living. It says that they sold their possessions and property and distributed the needs or the proceeds to all as they had need. I believe that there are two very, very clear marks of spiritual growth. And those two spiritual marks of are sacrifice, are service and generosity. I believe that, those two things do not come natural for us. And I believe it takes a work of the Lord in us to want to give our lives to something like service and generosity. I believe God has to supernaturally do something in us because we are by default people who want to acquire and want to be served rather than to serve. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Mark 10, 45, the Bible says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What if the people of God, what if the people of God here at the church on Rush Creek, what if just the Miralagos campus fully engaged in this process where we said to the Lord, for the next 2 years, God, would you take my surrender and take me to a place of surrender like I've never been, a place of faith where I've never been, a place of generosity like I've never experienced. And what if we were committed to community? We were devoted to spiritual growth. And we all began to live sacrificially like we've never lived before. I want to highlight a couple from our Green Oaks campus that has just been journeying with us in this process and their struggle to figure out what God wants them to do in the Unleashed Initiative is pretty challenging for me, and I assume it will be challenging for you as well. Take a look.
Paul and Cindy Saunders, and we've been going to the Green Oaks campus probably since 2006, so we've been going about 11 years now.
We visited a lot of different churches, and like Paul was saying, when we walked into Rush Creek, there was almost an immediate welcoming. It just felt different from all the other churches. And when we heard Jeremiah's sermon, it's like, okay, we need to come back.
Right.
And we haven't left since.
One sermon that Russ gave that was very impactful on me is where he was up at the, you know, on the stage, and he had an apple. He'd take a bite of the apple, say, there's my vacation. You know, take another bite of the apple. There's my car. Take another bite of the apple. There's my house payment. And the apple represented his money, right? And at the end, he had the apple core, and he looked over at the cross, and, oh, this is for you. And he threw the chewed up apple core at the cross, and I thought, to myself, that's what I've been doing. It's always been at the last, and it needs to be at the first. And that was the most impactful sermon I've ever had.
We keep a chalkboard in our kitchen counter, and we usually will write a scripture. And one that has remained there for the longest is James 4:8. And it says, "If come close to God, and he will come close to you." And I think through this whole effort of Rush Creek in the 2018-2019 commitment, it just keeps ringing, you know, over and over to us.
Committed ourselves to support the vision that Russ has for 2018 and 2019. I'd worked on the budget to come up with an amount that we could increase our tithe by, and I was feeling pretty good about it. So I went and go talk to Cindy and showed her the amount, and she kind of looks at me and smiles and says, "Can we double it?" And I said, and at first I said, "Oh, there's no way. I worked that hard, and there's no extra room in the budget." And then, but then I started thinking about other resources we might have, and after thinking about that, I thought, "Well, yeah, we can double it. Okay."
So not too long after that, I was awarded a promotion with bonus capabilities. So, of course, after I heard that and sort of digested that a little bit, I go back to him, and guess what I asked him? Can we triple it?
Yeah, so, you know, at that point, you know, who am I to say no? You're right. So we tripled it, so.
So I know that the first one, he did all his mathematics, all his things to make it come up to, okay, we're going to contribute this. And now that I hear his story, I sort of feel bad because I went back and challenged him some more. But he came back and said, okay. So I feel really bad now because I've asked him to triple it. But I think that's where it's just not on him. Being empty nesters, you don't want to always cook. So it's easier, hey, let's just go get something to eat. So maybe we don't do that as much. We're not extravagant, but there's ways that we can sort of back off on some things. And I have faith that we are going to be able to triple it.
We came up with a certain commitment at first, and then we doubled and tripled. You don't have to do that. I mean, right. I think everyone should be committed to doing something, to challenging themselves to some degree. I mean, and for some people, it may just be a challenge to tithe, just to come up, or not even maybe not even tithe, but halfway tithe, where they're not doing it today. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be surprised how easy it can be, and what you'll find afterwards, how you'll be rewarded. Well, I know in my experience, every time it seems that we've reached out in an act of faith and made financial commitments, it's always come back, and we've been blessed in some way or another, either, you know, just through experience or at times financially as well, and we recover that way, but we've experienced that so many times.
So giving to Rush Creek, I think for me, is easy because just of the passion that Russ has and Marty and, you know, Scott and now Jared, and it's easier to give that we know that it's going to be an impact on our community and above our community.
I think it's just the potential for the outreach potential is what's exciting. I mean, going from 5 campuses to who knows how many campuses we can end up being, how many people we can touch.
I think for me, being unleashed means with our time and talent is you now have the freedom. It's like the horse, the racehorse that we see. This racehorse, it loves to run, right? There's something in our lives that maybe we love to do and we always restrain. So for me, unleash means go for it, right? Do those things that you feel uncomfortable with. Do those things that you hesitate. Do those things that you're not sure if it's going to work out or not. So just do it. And I think with his faithfulness, that unleashing feels like freedom, and the rewards are incredible.
Amen. So let me tell you how sacrificial living is played out. So over the next couple of years, Stephanie and I are already praying about, we have been for months, how we want to sacrificially live. And I'm not going to tell you what we're thinking right now, but what we're thinking is definitely sacrificial. And what we're thinking is going to be demonstrated on this commitment card. It's a commitment card. Commitment means a commitment. It's like, man, I want to go all in, and I want to demonstrate sacrificial living through the commitment that I make to the Unleashed Initiative. And so here's what we're praying. We're praying that every one of you will come back on November the 12th. That's Commitment Sunday, and you'll bring a card just like this right here. And after you've been praying with your spouse as a family, your children praying with you, what could we give up? Maybe one meal a week. You'd be surprised what a family of five say, hey, we're going to, instead of eating out twice this week, we're going to eat out once this week. And we're going to do that every week for the next 2 years. You just make that commitment, you'd be amazed at what that adds up to. These are the kinds of sacrifices. What if we do a long weekend instead of a full week vacation? What if we get away Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of being gone all week long so that we can live sacrificially? We're even asking some of you to lead out. You know, in Joshua, as he was leading the Israelites to Jericho, as they got ready to cross the Jordan, the Bible says that it was at flood stage. And here's what I love about that story is that the waters did not part for Joshua and for the Israelites until some of the priests and those who led out first got their feet wet in the water. I don't know if they were ankle deep or knee deep, but I know at some point, only after they got into the water did they see it part. And so next Sunday night, we believe that some of you have been praying for a good while about your participation in Unleashed. And next Sunday night, we have advanced commitment night for those of you who are ready and want to step out in front and lead the way for our church and to reflect sacrificial living. That you would join us at Mansfield Performing Arts at 6 o'clock. We've got a service that we're going to have, a huge celebration. Child care is available, and you can register at RC Unleashed, or you can go on our app. You'll see right there on our app, Advanced Commitment. You can hit that button. It'll send you to the registration page, and if you need child care, it'll send you to the child care page. But whether it's next Sunday night or whether it's November 12th, here's what God is asking all of us, 100% commitment to be, sacrificial living. And here's what happens when you and I begin to commit to community, and we devote ourselves to spiritual maturity and growth, and we live sacrificially. The Bible says in verse 47, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Every day. I dream of a day where every day at Rush Creek, somebody is saying yes to Jesus and stepping out of darkness and into light. At Rush Creek, Mira Lagos, the last 12 years, we've seen almost 500 people do that. That's scratching the surface of what God wants to do in Burleson, in North Arlington, in Midlothian, in Cedar Hill, in Grand Prairie. Calling people out of darkness into light. Church, it requires us committed 100%. So would you pray with me as I just call upon the Lord to move in our hearts? God, this is impossible apart from you. I don't believe, Lord, that a man is gifted enough to somehow twist people's arms or manipulate in some way to be able to get people to do and to live this kind of life. I believe it only comes by the power of the Spirit of God. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move in our hearts, you would soften our hearts, you would mold and shape us. For those of us who, when we think about any kind of a financial generosity or some kind of an initiative like that, we immediately think of the negative. I pray, God, you would begin to give us a new perspective and allow us to have a vision that's as large as our God. Allow us to be challenged with what are we living for? And what does it take to live for that vision? God, I believe you're calling us to a vision that we can't live for unless we're willing to 100% engage in the process of surrender and faith and generosity. But oh God, if your people will call upon your name, we have seen over and over again in Scripture that you hear the prayers of your people and you act on behalf of your people. And so, God, we ask that right now at Rush Creek and for the people of Mira Lagos in this room right now. Stir in our hearts and move us towards sacrificial living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.